All right, you're in the arms room with Glenn.
Andrew.
Oof. What a weekend it has been.
Yeah.
What a week it has been.
Mm-hmm.
What a time to be alive. With all the weird shit happening in this world today. Patrons, thank you for your patronage. Thank you for continuing to support not just the show, but also the things that we do with our patron funds through independence training for local communities and churches and schools and law enforcement agencies, et cetera, et cetera. Extra show for our $10 above patrons. Sorry, not yet for this month. Probably, I think next week.
Mm-hmm.
Next week.
We'll have time next week.
We usually try to bust it in, you know, at that that extra time, or by the first weekend, I mean, that extra show.
Mm-hmm.
But just not happening this month, man. We have been crazy busy. And we actually totally forgot. We have to do next week's show. We got to pre-record this week.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably do that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll do the extra show tomorrow.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It might happen tomorrow. It's possible. It is possible that it'll happen tomorrow. But anyway, keep an eye open for that. I think it sends them an email, doesn't it, when it uploads?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure that if you're a patron, you get an email thing that says, hey, new stuff's been posted, and that just means our extra show for the month. So we're going to be doing that. And, yeah, look forward to that. Also, for our patrons, October 18th, that's a little over a month. On October 18th, we're going to have our patron question show.
Yes.
I love doing these shows, and it's been a while since we've done them, probably like a year, which I apologize for. But patron question shows are a lot of fun. And basically, if you're a patron of the show, you can ask any question you want to us, and we'll answer it. Whatever it is, we don't care. But shoot us an email, info@trainingaz.com. Please make sure you send it via email so it doesn't get lost in the shuffle. Please send your question or questions via email. It can be about any topic, anything we talk about, anything you want us to talk about. Send us your questions. And on October 18th, we will spend the entire show answering patron questions. That gives you guys a month because I know not everybody listens to the show immediately, or sometimes people go a couple weeks without hearing it. So that gives you guys a month to hopefully hear this show on September 13th for the October 18th show. Send us over your questions, info@trainingaz.com. Just got back from Indiana doing Close Contact Handgun with Cecil Birch,
mm-hmm.
who's, of course, been on the show a lot. What a great class, great group of individuals, fantastic weather. I was comically enjoying them telling me how hot it was there. Oh, it's so hot. It was like 85 or something. I don't know. It was nothing. It was nothing compared to what it is here. I'm like, oh, don't worry, guys. This is nice. Did get a little humid in the afternoon. We were outside, but really nice weather overall.
You know what I noticed? No mosquitoes.
They didn't have any mosquitoes there. We're in the middle of our little mosquito pandemic. We'll talk about a fucking pandemic.
Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes in Phoenix right now are bananas because of all the rain we've had.
Yeah.
But Indiana was beautiful. What a beautiful state. Lots of greenery, of course. Fantastic place. Enjoyed our trip. We're able to go to see some fun things in both Terre Haute as well as in Indianapolis.
Yep.
So we really enjoyed our time out there. And mostly, of course, really enjoy teaching close contact handgun material. And had a great group of students.
Yeah.
Really engaged students who wanted to be there and wanted to learn the material and just really enjoyed – I always enjoyed teaching with Cecil. I mean, he's a good friend of mine who've been training and working alongside with and against each other for many, many years. And I always enjoyed being around him. And so that's especially fun for us. If you are elsewhere, we're coming to Minnesota in 2 weekends – to do defensive handgun and IFAC Lifesaver. More information on that on our website, or you can email us and get more information. We'll be in South Carolina. Date's kind of still up in the air because we've got one host who might be handing it over to another host. And Paul, I know you're probably hearing this. That's why I'm between being crazy busy with this and some other things we have going on and waiting for this host to make up their mind. we're kind of bouncing back and forth on what we're trying to do here, but I will get with you. And we'll figure this whole thing out. But end up, one host might be handing over to another host. So anyway, we'll be in South Carolina either in October or in November. We're not sure which one yet. And we got other states we're going to for private training or corporate training. So we'll be traveling around all over still before the end of the year. But open enrollment classes right now, definitely in Minnesota, and then South Carolina is kind of in the balance right now. But yeah, so if you're in those areas or close to those areas and you want to train with us, and the South Carolina class will also be defensive handgun and – oh, no, I apologize. It's actually – I think it's actually IFAC, Lifesaver, and Conceal Carry Concepts, I believe. I don't think we're doing defensive handgun there. But anyways, well, whatever. It's going to be a damn good time. Take a look at what we've got going on elsewhere. Or if you want to host us, like we always talk about at the end of the show, it's really easy to host us. Just email us, info@trainingaz.com, and we'll give you the information about hosting. It's pretty simple. Most of we just need some help with some local stuff. So not hard. For those of you who are just pinned in place due to all this vaccine shit, know that my heart really does go out to you. It's easy to say, well, if my company came to me and said, you know, get the jab or take a hike, I would just take a hike. And that might be true for some of you. You have that commitment or that capability or that freedom or that savings account or that capability to get a job somewhere else or to replace that income. It's not as easy for everybody. I have my own ideas about resistance and noncompliance. I don't understand why people live behind enemy lines. I don't understand why people work for corporations that hate them. I don't understand why people continue to support a government that hates them. I don't understand some things. I also know that not everybody thinks like me. So if you are stuck and you got to make that really hard decision, do I get vaccinated? Do I give in to something I don't want to do? Or maybe you don't care and you're like, Glenn, what's the big fucking deal? I got vaccinated already and it's no big deal. Awesome. Good for you. I'm not calling for people to be vaccinated or unvaccinated. I don't give a shit. Do what you want to do. My problem comes when someone tries to force anything on me. The do it or else mentality is not something I can ever get on board with. That is wild government overreach, and I'm not into it in any way. I don't care what it was. If they were like, eat this candy bar or else, I'm not eating this fucking candy bar because you don't get to tell me what to do. You don't get to force me to put something into my body I don't want to put into my body. And those of you who have to make this decision, I hope you make the right one. I don't even know what that is. But for you, I hope you make the right choice. That's all I can say. Other than that, political, we can make a whole show out of that, and I don't want to. So I'm going to kind of leave it there. I ain't into it. Drew's not into it. Our team's not into it. I can tell you that. So any other news? Amazing things happened going on. Everyone's forgotten about Afghanistan. Who gives a fuck about that place, I guess. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that blew over real quick.
Hot topic for about a week.
Yeah, well, a couple weeks. Thanks to Tim Kennedy.
Yeah.
What a hero.
Other than that, I don't really...
Yeah, no one cares about that place anymore. Yeah, what else? No one really cares about masks anymore. Like, people are just going right back to it.
Yeah, I mean, just...
I can't think of any good news. Any interesting shit anybody cares about?
Just heat warnings.
Yeah, it's hot as fuck around here.
Heat wave.
That's no fun. Can't think of any other great news.
Yeah. A lot of people dying.
Politicians are still corrupt. Turns out the government hates you.
Yeah.
If you think they don't, you are stupid. Yeah. And I don't know what else to say to you. And you're probably not listening to our show. If you are listening to our show, you probably relatively think that way anyways. Whatever. Red Wire gear moment for this week. Work with your gear using gloves and layered clothing. I know it's summertime right now. And you're probably not going to have a lot of layered clothing on. But some of you might still, if you're wearing, you know, overclothes or protective equipment or anything like that, let's say over your work clothes or over your daily wear clothes. And certainly as we are, you know, looking down the pike of fall being, you know, just a couple months away or 1 month away really for us. And then, you know, certainly into winter. For some of you guys, that means lots of layers. That means lots of cold weather, et cetera. Then you want to start thinking about what's going to happen to your equipment, whatever that may be, when you start putting on layered clothing. Excuse me. Oh, I got a sneeze. It's hung up in my nose. But layered clothing, whether that is cold weather, protective equipment, whether your equipment is guns, knives, flashlights. How does the layered clothing concept affect your ability to get access to your tools? Same thing with gloves. Now, part of the reason I bring this up is because this is just a generally good idea to do if you're going to ever be wearing gloves. It's like whenever we do private training for precision rifle stuff or rifle training for guys who are getting ready for a hunt, I always have them show up to class wearing as much of the hunting equipment as they possibly can. They're hunting boots, they're hunting pants, they're hunting jacket, they're hunting gloves, they're hunting hat, everything that may or, you know, interact or interfere with them getting into a certain position or whatever. Just that way they really know. They know what a trigger feels like underneath, you know, the glove finger of whatever heavy winter gloves they're going to be using when they're trying to drop that big elk or whatever it may be. So that's kind of, you know, thing number one. Thing number two is this. One of the number one things that we saw this last weekend in close contact handgun, which is the same thing we see in every close contact handgun class, is when we get to the scenario part, people often put – because we're using UTMs. People often put on basic protective level gear. They're long sleeve shirts. They'll throw on a sweatshirt. They'll throw on something that's over and kind of absorb the impact of the rounds. Okay. And then to protect their hands, they often put on some type of gloves. Okay. All acceptable stuff. Then they get into a fight and under pressure, they try to draw from layered clothing and get their big gloved hands around a pistol. And often what we see happen, and we saw it happen time and time and time again. I got three pictures and at least a half a dozen good videos just from this weekend of people fumbling draws, people drawing their shirt or their jacket along with their gun, people almost even dropping guns. And we see that often in these programs because people are used to standing relatively static or basically moving around on the range and then pulling up a t-shirt, a light t-shirt, drawing their handgun and engaging a target. And they're not really doing that same kind of practice with heavier clothing. They're not being very aggressive with their exposure. They're not doing it while they're moving, potentially being grabbed or anything like that. So without that pressure-based element, you can get away with a lot of shit. So make sure that you're practicing using your gloves. Make sure you're practicing using your layered equipment or your layered clothing, I mean, to get good access to your equipment, whether that's cold weather stuff, protective, you know, PPE stuff, whatever that is. Consider how the stuff you're putting on is going to affect access to your equipment and practice with it. Red Wire Gear Moment brought to you by RedWireGear.com. Our topic for this week, preparing your kids for bad situations. Preparing your kids for bad situations. This is kind of a weird topic for me because of just how I grew up. Sometimes people – a lot of times people ask us, how do you prepare your kids? You are only as prepared as the people around you. I'm going to say that again, slower for those of you who are Marine Corps guys, all right? I'm just kidding. I love you. You are only as prepared as the people around you. You can be Jason fucking Bourne for all you want. And if the person next to you is, you know, Martha Stewart, when it comes to this stuff, sure, she can whip together a hell of a pie or decorate your living room. That's great. But if you need them in an emergency, you can be as amazing as you want. And if you are the one who's hurt, if you're the one who's unavailable, if you're the one who's not there, then you're fucked. Or they are. It bothers me greatly when wives or girlfriends depend on their significant other. I've never understood that mentality. Why would you depend on somebody? Well, I don't need to learn a lot. My husband was in the Army and he carries a gun.
We hear that so
all the fucking time.
Incredibly much.
All the time.
Well, my husband this. He was this. He'll protect.
Oh, well, my boyfriend trains all the time and he, you know. He's so ready. He's so prepared. What about you? Oh, well, I mean, he'll take care of me.
Good luck.
What if he doesn't?
What if he's dead?
What if he dies? What if he breaks up with you? He's sick of you being such an apathetic piece of shit. Like, you got to fucking take care of yourself, yeah, man. And guys often rest on their laurels. Well, back in the day, I used to do this, used to do that, whatever. You're only as prepared as the people around you. That became apparent to me. You know, when I got my when my oldest son got old enough to take out hunting with me, which, by the way, was 18 months, for those of you guys who want to know. People are like, you really took your son out when he was 18? Yes, I did. When he was 18 months old, I started taking him out hunting. I put a little ear pro on him, and the first thing he did was go out quail hunting with me. Absolutely. It was my time with the boy, and I wanted to go quail hunting, and he was 18 months old, and he didn't know what the fuck he wanted to do because he couldn't speak any English. And so I put him in a baby backpack with some ear pro on, and boom, quail hunting. As soon as I realized, as he got older and more capable, and that was even just being a handful of years old, I mean, even just being 4 or 5 years old, I realized, hey, this little dude is out here with me. I'm only as prepared as he is in reality. He needs more. We need twice as much water now. We need more food. We got to bring toys, coloring books and shit now. And he also needs to know about what to do in an emergency. How does he access my phone? How does he call 911? How does he tell people where we're at? When we teach kids classes in medicine, a lot of times people are like, I want you to teach my kid how to do all this. And I'm like, pump the brakes there, Hondo. Let me come to the kids class. You're going to see what we're going to teach first. Drew's seen them. The first thing that we teach. How to explain where you are. Paying attention to where you are. And when parents will sit through the class with their kids, it's usually like a 1 hour program we do during, you know, one of our medical expos or whatever. And because kids' attention spans only so much, we'll take them out front or wherever we are and go, tell me where you're at. Where are you? What building are we in? What's the crossroads here? What do you see? If you had to be on 911 right now and someone was asking you, little Johnny, what do you see? What would you say? A sign, a road, a fence, building numbers, a big water tower in the distance, mountains in the distance. What do you see? How do you describe where you are? Do you know where you are? Do you pay attention? Even as a little kid, you know, and the older you get, the more you should expect from your kids. Do they know what crossroads are at? Do they know what store you're in? Saying we're in a store in Scottsdale is a lot different than saying we're in a Sprouts in Scottsdale. Yeah, there's more than one Sprouts in Scottsdale, but it's going to narrow it down pretty fucking fast. Yeah. Especially if they walk outside and say, and the building number is blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, that pretty narrows it down 100%. Do they know how to look for building numbers? Where to look for them? On the curb, on the building, on a mailbox, on the door. That's one of the most important things, is to get kids to get help. They're great at that. They really are. They can be taught how to do it. Do they even know that? I'm like, oh, my kid knows how to put on a tourniquet. My kid knows how to field strip his M4. That's cool, man. Does he know how to get help? Basic communication things. That's going to be a benefit to them their whole life. But that's kind of like step number one. Let's start with that. And that was a big thing for me, you know, with my oldest son, was how do we get him prepared for getting me help, because he's 4 or 5 years old. He's super limited on what he can do. But he starts carrying his own little pack. Plus, he wants to. Little kids want to be involved. They want to be like you. Don't deny them that opportunity. They're not strong enough to carry. Why the fuck do you think they're going to get strong enough? Not by you wishing they were better. Get them a nice little pack. That means spend a little bit of money. Get them a nice little pack, a little sling bag, a little fanny pack. And put some basic stuff in there. A couple Band-Aids, maybe a little cool stuff like a trauma dressing, and, you know, a little fire starter, and, you know, a glow stick. Boom. It's a good start of a nice little emergency kit for a kid.
Yeah.
And it's lightweight. Let them start carrying it. The older they get, the more they carry. That's when people ask me about how do I prepare my kids. I prepare my kids like I was prepared. To me, I didn't need to grow up and learn about preparation. It was our life. I just knew it wasn't a thing we did. It wasn't like, oh, we're preparedness people or whatever. It was just how we did everything, which is how we did it. I didn't know any different. And most people around me growing up in relatively small towns, like most people around me did the same thing. So it wasn't weird or odd. I thought it was weird or odd when I left home and found out that the majority of people I was around had no fucking clue what they were doing outside of, you know, being able to order a pizza and go to the supermarket. They had no idea. So because of that type of problem we have in society, then we have to teach our kids even more now. And we have to be very specific because we have to overcome the excitement of what we do in our training and practice has to overcome the fucking dopamine addictive hit of blowing something up on Call of Duty or getting on the tablet and playing their favorite video game or watching that TV show with the funny bears. What we do in helping our kids prepare for bad situations has to be more exciting than that. And that same dopamine addictive hit that they get from playing that video game or doing whatever, you can deliver to your kids through this kind of stuff. Don't show them the fire extinguisher. Drop $20 and go buy a fire extinguisher that you can pull the tab on and go, you know, blow out a fire in the backyard with, or wherever it is you can figure out how to do it, the campfire next time you go out in the woods or whatever it may be. Let them practice with the bleeding trainer and not just the dry pack trainer. Show them a video of someone bleeding to death so that they can know why they need to put a tourniquet on a certain way. Give them the excitement that you enjoy. Our kids, they like to shoot. You know what they really like to do? Move and shoot. You know what all of our clients like to do? Move and shoot. Turns out it doesn't really change that much. Like once you're trying to, when you're trying to prepare someone to, for an emergency, that was something we just found out about, you know, one of our daughters was, we've been kind of having a hard time with like taking her shooting with us. She hasn't really wanted or shown much interest, which was odd because she seems to have interest in that, but didn't really have a lot of interest. So we just took her, and she's only 12, but we just took her to the ladies AR-15-101 class. And, you know, first she started with a real AR, and then she dropped – she was like, okay, I've got the experience of the big gun.
Now, well, and it was pretty heavy for her.
It was. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. I got the experience. It's a big gun. And I even had, like, one of the shorties and everything, mm-hmm. but it was, like, a little more recoil, a little more boom, a little more than she was ready for. And she's kind of a smaller gal, and so – we're like, all right, cool. Like, we'll give you the 22. She went back to the 22 AR, and she was moving and shooting and, you know, forward and lateral and just loving it, man. Just absolutely loving it with these other, you know, grown ladies. They all loved the same thing. You have to make it exciting for them. It can't just be this boring didactic shit. Kids learn differently than adults, and honestly, even adults typically need more exciting stuff when they're learning. Fun is a vital, vital element. It is a vital element of the learning process. If you're not enjoying yourself, you're not going to learn as well. You're not going to retain as much. Now, you got to, you know, watch, kind of be careful you don't cross that line and just making it so much fun that now we're just having fun and we're not focused on learning. But when you're, you know, preparing your kids for bad situations, you really got to make it fun. Keep it short. And make it real for them. Contextualize it for them. What are they likely to see? When I was first teaching my kids medicine, it was about kids on the playground. Or, you know, with our oldest son, it was about hiking with his buddies. At the time, he was running around the woods a lot with his buddies. When we really started hitting medicine hard with him, he was probably about 8 or 9 years old, and he was running around the woods with his buddies all the time. And they were out there by themselves all the time for many hours at a time. And it was like, all right, let's make this realistic. Your buddy falls out of a tree. Your buddy falls and impales himself on something. You know, you fall down and get trapped somewhere. Let's make this realistic for them. Make it contextual for what they have to deal with. You're in a car with, you know, mom or dad or somebody else, whatever, and you get hit. Okay, what are our priorities? Okay, we check ourselves. We check everybody else. We get access to kits. We secure the scene. Like, let's start making it real. Also, keep it short span.
Yeah.
Like 30 to 60 minutes max.
I would even say for the little kids, too long.
Oh, 15 to 20 minutes. Yeah, that's about it for them.
Yeah, 15 to 20. And when you're going to do it with them, be hands-on with stuff mm-hmm. because they don't really process just saying words. They kind of get lost and kind of go all over the place everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And I just know from our own experience with our own kids – that we're very hands-on with them, then they're very interested. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is awesome.
And so if you if you make it exciting and interesting for them, they're going to want to do it more. And sometimes it's just fun stuff. You know, like the twins. You know, we do room clearing at the house with the twins sometimes, and they love it, and we make it fun. Mm-hmm. Put up a couple tarts. We'll do it here at the office. We'll do it at the house. Obviously, they do it at, like, Tack Hub at the shoot house down there. And they like to move around, you know? They like to see the cool tactics. They want to see the little fun stuff. I'm not going to try to get super in-depth with them. Yeah. I want to make it so that, yes, these are the real good building block fundamentals of – so as they get older, I can build on these things. So I'm only going to give them, you know, 2% of what they need to know. But as they're now building those things or building good habits, and we're letting them have fun. We do it lights on, lights off. We use the lasers. We use – you know, Nerf guns a lot. We just have fun. We just have fun. And if we have fun, they're going to want to do it again. You know, we do it for 10 to 15 minutes and we're done. We can't expect, we're not going to drill these kids for, you know, 8-hour class of CQB work. Like, that's ridiculous. It's going to be a few, just a little bit. You get them in the habit of wanting to know how to take care of themselves. You get them to the point where they want to be able to take care of themselves. What's tough about this, this is an obstacle Drew and I face, and you guys face it, even if you're not in our situation, which I'll describe here in a second, you still face it because the society fucking sucks. What society wants is lazy people. They want apathetic people. They want people who want to be taken care of. Because that then gives the power back to the ruling body of government and takes it away from the people. If the people can take care of themselves, if they're self-reliant, if they're confident, then it takes the power away from the governing body. The governing body wants these people to be reliant on them. And so they've created a lot of ways. I mean, a ton of ways. Literally from drugs in your food to television programming to, you know, like literal brainwashing in public schools to pandemics and plandemics and all this other shit, right? All this stuff is all just designed to strip away our individual liberty and our own self-reliance. It's by fucking design. You want to know how I know? It's not because I'm that smart. I'm not that big of a conspiracy theorist. I am a history nerd. That's how I know.
Yeah.
I've seen this one before. In fact,
repeats itself.
I've seen it a lot before. Dating all the way back to Bread and Circuses, have I seen this before? So because of that, I'm looking at what's happening saying, I know what comes next.
Yeah.
If we don't X, then we get Y, right? Like we know what's going to happen here, right? Our children are going to be called upon in a way we were not. And we can say, oh, they're this generation, lazy. No, they're not to them. They're not.
Yeah.
To us, yeah, sure. I was lazy to my father. My father was lazy to my grandfather. My grandfather was lazy to my great-grandfather and up the chain we go.
And so on and so on and so on.
Right? I'm sure Adam and Eve look at their kids and they're just like, fuck this. We shouldn't have made children. It was way better without them. These lazy fuckers. Right? Like that was probably, look at us. So look what we had to do. And these kids just fucking get everything handed to them. Like, every generation thinks they had it the hardest,
yeah.
And the next generation's the laziest. This generation, yeah, sure, you can say whatever you want to about them, and I'm sure we could do a whole other episode on this, but I don't want to get involved in that. They know what they know, and they only are capable of doing. If you have kids or you're involved with kids, you're in a leadership position over youth, you're a school teacher, whatever, their capabilities are directly related to you. My kids' failures are in part directly related to my failure as a dad.
Yeah.
I have no one to blame. If they're not prepared for these situations, I don't really have anyone to – well, they should have learned it from here. They should have learned it from there. They should have learned it from me. So if you're in that weird societal situation, like we all are, or maybe you're even actively being worked against. You know, Drew and I have some real peach exes who almost essentially – actively work against our capability to try to, you know, make our kids self-reliant and make our kids know how to take care of themselves. These people, they rely on other people. They can't wipe their fucking asses without someone taking fucking care of them. So because that exists, we're kind of in an uphill battle sometimes. Yeah. And maybe that's you too, or maybe you just feel yourself in an uphill battle because you're like, man, how do I compete with these flashing lights on the TV? How do I compete with these kids that want to go out and hang out with them, their friends, right? How do I compete with, you know, the world? How do I compete with society? I'm just their parent, especially when you get teenagers and they don't want to listen to you and you're stupid, you don't know anything. That's the same thing everybody goes through, right? They're trying to create their own independence and detach from you so that they can go out into the world and get ready to handle their own situations. Which means if you wait until they're teenagers and they hit that point to start trying to teach them about how to handle bad situations, you're going to be too fucking late. You have to start as early as you possibly can. I don't know. Maybe you just adopted a kid and he's fucking 14 years old and you're like, but what am I supposed to do then? Now, today, tonight, right now if possible, begin. Start showing them. More importantly, lead by your example. Show them that you are ready for these situations as much as can be. Teach them about money, how it really works. And if you can't, because that's not your knowledge base, get somebody who can. Teach them about how economies really actually work. Teach them about government overreach. Teach them about tyrannical power abuse. Teach them about history. Teach them about physical fitness. Teach them how to cook. How to clean, how to do their own laundry. Teach them how to make their beds.
Yeah.
Teach them how to clean themselves, how to be properly hygienic.
And it starts with the little things first and then work your way up to the bigger things. You know, little, give them little daily victories.
We'll get to tyranny. Let's start with brushing your teeth.
Or making your bed. Because those are little things that will encourage them and build their confidence within themselves to really start taking on different things, that mentality, I can do this. So when they are in a situation, they can handle a situation. Give them the proper tools from the very beginning. Yes, we do talk to our kids. Like Glenn said, in one of our previous shows, like every Tuesday, we try to have, for about an hour, we try to teach the kids new things, whether that's about finances, whether it's about building fire, whether that's about cooking, whether that's about cleaning something. We're constantly trying to teach them and pass down little things that they can do throughout their day to make them excited about learning with us. And working them up into the bigger things. And sometimes we do talk to them about some pretty heavy stuff, like what's going on with the, like as Mila says, the sickness. You know, we keep them up to date with things and of that nature, but we have to put it in context for little kids. And it's a lot different if you just start talking to them about these things versus being regularly educating children on everything. And I think that's the key importance is kids will absorb it more if they're constantly, and I'm not meaning education as in going to school. Yes, kids go to school, and that's a whole nother topic that we could talk about yeah. That bullshit. But regularly educating.
Spoiler alert, I hate public schools. Continue.
Regularly teaching these kids about life situations, about how to, you know, properly take out the trash. Like my big thing teaching kids right now is putting the fucking dishes away in the dishwasher when it's dirty and then unloading it and then not leaving dirty dishes in the sink when you just unloaded it. Like, put the fucking dirty dishes away.
Now, people would ask, what are doing dishes? What are taking out the trash? What do these things have to do with preparing yourself for a bad situation? And I'll say this. There are some things I learned from regimented training that I once participated in. Right? There's something I learned from that. Sometimes when you're in it, you're like, why are we cleaning these clean guns? Why does it matter if I am going to be America's soldier of death? Why does it matter if my socks and my shoes are properly aligned in this fucking drawer? Why does it matter if my gig line is properly fucking aligned when I'm dressing up? Like, why does this matter so much that it's worth breaking someone down for? I'll tell you why it matters. Because if you cannot master those simple forms of discipline, self-respect, dignity, how can we then rely on you to go out and do the big things. Oftentimes people want to do the big things. It happens with adults in training. I want to do CQB. And you're like, all right, how's your weapons handling? Oh, look, it's shit.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Look, you're flagging your buddy. Yeah, dude, I'm not taking you into a CQB environment when you don't even understand which way your fucking muzzle's supposed to go. Yeah. I'm sorry. You're not ready. Yeah, but what if I need – you don't need to learn that. You don't need to learn that.
Yeah.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Let's dial it back, man. Let's make sure you can actually hit the target on the move. I mean, once again, moving and shooting stuff. Most people don't get a chance to shoot at moving targets. This weekend, in one class, we expended over 200 UTM rounds. 200 UTM hits were not scored.
Yeah.
Close contact handgun. There was not a shot fired outside of 5 yards this weekend. Over 200 UTM rounds. During live fire, fucking nobody missed the target.
Yeah.
We do a live fire. Everyone fired 100, 150 rounds of live fire. Nobody missed the target. Nobody missed. As soon as we put some shit under pressure, suddenly misses were happening. What does it have to do with what we're talking about? Well, if you don't get the fundamentals down, if you can't handle this stuff, you're not even ready to go to the big leagues, because these guys could get the fundamentals down. And then when we stuck them in the big leagues, they were like, whoa, now we see where we actually need to put the work in. We need to quit jerking ourselves off on the fucking live fire range, shooting tiny little groups at 5 or 7 yards, and we need to start doing more moving and shooting. We need to start doing force and force-based. We need to start doing more oppositional-based training. We need to start doing more verbals. We need to start doing more with yada, yada, yada. All these other things that suddenly are the actual problem. And that's what we need to look at within when we're teaching our kids for bad situations. Can they handle it or not?
Yeah.
And when we see adults that can't handle emergency situations, they were once kids who couldn't handle emergency situations. Mm-hmm. So if you're that person, a lot of students and a lot of you guys as listeners, you at some point probably more likely than not, this was a path you set yourself upon sometime in your adulthood, whether it was early, mid, or late adulthood. There was some time in your adulthood that probably set you on this path more so than when you were a kid. Because you were a kid, you were more concerned with being a kid.
Yeah.
And that's most kids, right? And you might have not had parents that were as into this as like Drew and I are, or my parents were, right? Maybe that's – and that's nothing at all wrong with that. But remember, if you want your kids, or the kids maybe that you have an influence on, nieces, nephews – whatever, Boy Scouts, Boys and Girls Club, whatever. Whatever youth school or church program you're involved in. Those youth that you do have an influence over, they're going to look to you to present that example of how are you living your life? How are you preparing for those emergencies? They want to see that same preparation. I think kids more so than adults really are good at watching actions versus words.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Their worldview is so small, and they have such few things to consider. I have no idea how many, oh, yeah, dude, I promise I'm going to get to that. You know, adult people have said that to me and never gone through with it. I don't know. I know it's happened. I couldn't tell you how many times. Your kids could tell you probably to the exact number how many times you've said, oh, no, I promise we're going to get to that, and then didn't.
Yep.
Because their worldview is so small, their number of people they have to think about and deal with is so small, their amount of information they have to process is so reduced compared to you as an adult. They're looking to you for that example. Are you that person? Are you this person who falls through with what you say?
Mm-hmm.
Are you someone who can be relied upon or not? That is, in turn, teaching your kids how to prepare for bad situations. I know people, there are people that I love to hang around with. They're so much fun. I would not ever rely on them in an emergency situation. And there's other people that I probably don't really hang around with that much compared to, you know, maybe some other friends or buddies I have. And yet they would be some of the first people I'd want to be around in an emergency situation. Prepare your kids on how to start reading people. Who can I trust? Who follows through with whatever they say they're going to do? Who does that?
Yeah.
And if I like that, am I that person? We all introspectively have to look at that. Am I that person? Am I that person that follows through with what I say I'm going to do? Do I leave people hanging a lot? Am I that person? Am I that person someone's not going to be able to rely on in an emergency? Eesh, it's not who I want to be. How am I managing my time? How am I managing my money? How am I managing my resources, and are my kids seeing that in me? How am I managing my emotions? If you're a wild, out-of-control, freaking crazy person because you've had some crazy shit happen to you in your life, whatever that may be, and you can't handle your emotions and you're not seeking professional mental health,
your kids are going to be just like you.
Guess what? They're going to grow up just like you. They're going to have the same kind of emotional triggers and problems and issues that you have, for the most part. And if they see you out, hey, going to counseling, you're not quiet about it, yep, dad's going to counseling, mom's going to counseling, kids are going to counseling, whatever, you know, to go seek on how to improve ourselves. The stigma, by the way, that people have against counseling blows my fucking mind. I'll take that back. I have understood it. Now I can't understand it.
Yeah.
It's like so you'll come to me to professionally learn how to shoot a handgun, something you're realistically not going to need most of the time, but you don't want to spend like a little bit more money for a handful of sessions with someone who's going to unfuck your weird views of the world? Like, dude, you probably need that.
More than anything.
I'll be honest with you guys. If you're an independence training student and you train with us regularly, you guys have heard my other challenges to you, like, you know, stop training with us and go get a fucking education. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, stuff like that. Like, I love my job. I love what I do. I would love to teach classes every day, all day, full classes to the hill all the time. I love it.
But we're super big into personal growth and development.
I would rather see you personally develop yourself. If you're one of our students and you're considering another carbine or handgun or fighting or medical class with us, and you've never been to mental health counseling, please, please go do that first. It will have a bigger impact on your life and your ability to be a good parent if you are one or going to be one. It will have a bigger impact on your ability to do that. And if we're talking about preparing kids for bad situations, how the fuck are you going to do that when you've got a war raging in your mind every day?
And, you know, that helps with the communication, because if you can't properly communicate when you're trying to teach your kids and not relaying the message properly because there's a lack of communication, they're going to get frustrated, you're going to get frustrated, and it's going to be a bad situation, which we see happen a lot in spouses, because there's a lack of communication and things are being lost in translation, and this person's upset, and this person's upset, and then it's just they throw their hands up and they're like, I'm not doing this anymore, this is too frustrating. You have to remember, little kids do not have context that we have. Mm-hmm. They're not going to understand these things. So communication is going to be really key with the kids. Hands-on is going to be key with getting kids involved. And just like I said earlier, getting them to do the small victories like cleaning their bedroom or making their bed and brushing their teeth and rewarding them with positive reinforcements like, you must be so proud of yourself. Like, that's a great job. Mm-hmm. So when they are being taught these life lessons on how to get the medical kit, what's in the medical kit, how do you use the medical kit, they're going to be so full of positive energy and confidence that they're going to handle the situation under less stress. They won't be as stressed because you've already given them the tools to set them up for success. And that's one of our biggest things, is positive reinforcement with them, building their confidence now. Start it now, even if they don't understand what a tourniquet is. We'll get to that portion later. But let's build everything else up that they have that positive attitude going into a situation, be like, I can do this. Mm-hmm.
Do things that they know they can do. It's okay to just give some good positive reinforcement. I mean, we talk about preparing your kids for bad situations. When I was being taught, you know, by my dad how to do certain things, he would give me tasks that were challenging, sure, things I had to work through. He would let me fail. I'm going to say that again. He would let me fail so that I could experience failure, learn how to deal with it, and then fix that so that I could see the benefits then of success.
Yep.
He would also do things, you know, let me do things that were – he knew I could do. Like, hey, go – you know, we're building – we were always fucking building shit. So we were building some damn something for some fucking animal, it seemed like, some piece of livestock somewhere. Some neighbor needed a new barn or whatever. And it was like, hey, go hammer these things together.
Yeah.
Go cut these boards. Go do – he would give me jobs he knew I could do so that I could come back and say, did I do a good job? And he could say, yes, you did a good job. And that positive reinforcement enabled me then to say, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And then when the next thing came that wasn't something I knew how to do, because I already had the I can do this mentality, then it was a lot easier to go, okay, now I need you to do this, boy. And it was like, okay, I don't really know how to do that. And he'd be like, well, you have the tools and you have the knowledge, so why don't you fucking figure it out, because I'm over here doing this shit, so yeah, you do this. And it's like, oh, shit, maybe make some mistakes, figure it out, get it done. And then it's like, okay, because I had the can-do attitude, now I could work through it.
Yeah.
And then I was able to, okay, here, Dad, I built this thing. Is this kind of what you're looking for? Because we're trying to put this roof on and you need this angled cut piece, and did I do this right?
Yeah.
Yeah, how many times did you fuck it up? Three. Okay. Was this one right? Yeah, this one's right. Okay, let's get it installed, right? And, like, that's important. That ability to struggle through things, to do things that they're good at. You want to give them good positive reinforcement and then struggle through the new things.
Mm-hmm. Because they also need to understand that they're going to screw up, but they also have to have that calmness about their screwing up. And when they fail, they can't, you know, be raging and screaming,
I can't do this,
I don't want to do this. And that's one of the biggest issues we have with our youngest one right now, is she constantly gives up. And, like, as soon as she fails, she's out. That's all she wants.
She sees that from the other side.
And so it's like we're constantly trying to combat this. Like, nope, get back up. Get back on your bike. Keep riding. Mm-hmm. This is how we're doing. Like, we're not walking your bike back home.
And I want to shift gears here for a couple minutes. And that is maybe even how you see kids. I never wanted kids. I didn't grow up in, like, a big family. There were four of us, siblings. I'm the youngest of four. And we weren't, like, poor or anything. We weren't rich. We were just happily in the middle, you know. We had everything we needed and most of what we wanted. And I never really remember it being, you know, too hard times. I'm sure my dad was in here and be like, well, there were some fucking hard times you didn't know about, kid. You know, but we were more than happy. And overall, I had a good childhood. My parents are fucking crazy, like everyone's parents are, and that's how it goes, right? But I had a good – overall, I had a good childhood, and I learned a lot, and I'm very grateful to my parents for the lessons that they taught us. I saw two different kinds of parents in my parents, and I witnessed other people's parents as a kid. I watched other people's parents and how they interacted with their children. And that led me then to, you know, not really want to be a parent. I didn't want that kind of responsibility. Like, as I got older and I realized I'm going to be responsible for other human beings' personal growth and development, like, I'm kind of fucked up. I don't think I should probably be given that task because I feel like I'm going to probably make a lot of mistakes. And I did. I was right. But when I started having kids, I fell in love with my kids. And I really fell in love with the idea of being a dad. Because what I saw was an opportunity to have more people. Now, here's what I mean by that. Your kids are your people. They're not a liability. They're not a responsibility. They're not a thing you need to do because it's that time, you're in your 30s or whatever, and it's time to have kids or whatever your idea is. These are your people. They will be a direct representation of you and your efforts. They are genetic replications of you. And if you adopted kids, then they will be environmental replications of you. These are your people. Anytime I had to, quote unquote, watch my kids, I've never thought, oh, I have to babysit. These are my people. I never hesitated taking my kids really anywhere, and to this day I still don't. I'm happy to take the kids just about anywhere I go, as long as it makes sense, right? Like, I'm not going to take them to every class I teach because that doesn't make any sense. But I wouldn't be able to do my job. But anywhere that I can, I'm going to take them. These are my people. I want to hang out with them.
And if you have an issue,
I want to spend time with them.
And if you have an issue with your kids acting up, being brats, that's a direct reflection of your parenting.
That's you, man.
And yourself.
That's you.
Like, if you can't stand to be around your own kids, that's lack of parenting.
That's your fucking fault.
It's not the kids' fault. It is your direct or your spouse's.
And that, you know, there's some other things there. So, saying I was going to kind of change, you know, topics here a little bit. This is it, right? The other side of that is something Drew and I kind of already mentioned, which is when the kid is also being influenced, obviously, by a spouse. Now, whether you still live with that spouse or don't live with that spouse, you may or may not have an influence on them. Maybe you don't live, you know, you've got an ex-spouse and you guys still kind of like get along or whatever, and you can still have these kind of conversations and you're amicable and everything, in which case, fuck you, because that was at a fantasy land, okay? Probably if that happens, there's going to be some kind of conflict, right? Why? Because that's the reason, I don't know, you got divorced or left them or whatever, right? So you're going to have that conflict. Some of you guys who are in a marriage, I know this too, right? You're going to have conflict in the marriage. You're like, but honey, I really want to teach the kid how to hunt. And then he or she is like, well, I don't want you to teach him how to hunt. I don't want you to teach him how to shoot. I don't want you to teach him how to do it. Oh, they need to focus more on this. Or they don't need to know how to sew their own clothes. I'll sew them for them. You have helicopter type parents who are like, they don't need how to do laundry. I'll do the laundry. I'm a fucking control freak and I don't want anyone doing the laundry but me. I don't want anyone cleaning the house but me. I don't want anyone doing anything but me, because if it's not done my way, then it's not done fucking right.
Wow, it sounds like you just described me. Cleaning.
You do at least help people. Let people help.
Ish.
If you're that way, then you're not doing any benefit to your kids. If your kid doesn't make his bed in the morning, you make it for him, you're fucking up.
Yeah.
If your spouse is doing the same thing, you got to tell him, fucking stop doing that. You are making it harder for us to teach them how to prepare for bad situations when you're literally just going and picking up behind them. If they made a mess, let them pick it up.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just kids. They're having fun. Yeah, sometimes that's okay. Kids go to bed. It's been a wild night of partying with family and friends over and everything. And they left a couple soda cans out and some toys on the ground. Yeah, sure. Pick up your house. It's fine. It's fine. But if the kid's specifically just making messes and not taking care of them, if they're creating problems in your life or other people's lives, they're not taking care of it. You're not helping them prepare for bad situations in their life. My whole thing, the way I look at my role as a parent is this, and I said everything I've already said for the last 45 minutes to say this next part. It's basically all building up to this. My job as a dad is to not be anyone's fucking friend.
Yeah.
That's not my job. My job as a dad is to teach my children how to survive in the world they are given. Not the world I wish they were given. Not the world I grew up in. Not the world that used to be or that maybe once will be. I have to teach them how to survive in this world. So guess what, folks? I know about TikTok. I know about Taylor Swift. I know about social media. I know about designer drugs. I know about the things that are happening out there right now. As much as I can without directly involving myself in that world, because I sit down and I talk to my kids about it and go, what's going on in the world today? Tell me what your woes are. Tell me what's happening. I study. I research. I read shit I don't really want to know about, but I have to, because I have to know the kinds of trends, the kinds of fads, the kinds of things that are going on out there today, so that I understand the threats against my kids and their longevity, the threats against my kids and their fucking sanity. I got to know what's going on out there. What is taking them away from their ability to be prepared for bad situations? As a dad, that's my job.
Yeah.
Prepare them for the world that we live in. Not the one I grew up in. Not the one that I wish existed, but the one that they live in. If I can be their friend along the way, that's great. And with all my kids up and down, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm their best friend in the world, and other times I'm just their dad. And that's a normal relationship to have between a parent and child when you're the authoritative figure. But it's not my goal. Sure, when they're 30, let's be friends.
Yeah.
Until then, I am here to prepare them for the fucked up bullshit that I know they're going to have to deal with, because we all had to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's balancing a checkbook, dealing with a breakup, handling a traumatic bleed, or shooting a gun. And I know most people, when they saw this show topic, they were like, oh, he's going to talk about how to train your kids how to shoot guns. Oh boy, I'm going to listen up because I want to know the secrets. You want to know the secrets? Spend more time with your kids. let your kids know that you care. Let them know that they're a priority to you. They're not a thing that you had because now we're Americans and we got to have 2.5 children or whatever the fuck the numbers are, right? That's not it. I want to be here. I want to spend time with you. You're my people. When you have that kind of relationship, it's way easier to teach your kids about all the stuff that we're talking about. When you've built those habits, when you've created that idea of authority that's not authoritative, but rather I am here to help you as your dad. I love you. I want to spend time with you. You're my people. You are literally my people. Everyone's going, my bros are my tribe. These people are my tribe. Like, what about your fucking kids? Where do they fit into this? Your kids aren't your people. Your kids, well, it's my family. Well, they're just little. When they're older, I'll take them out. When they're older, I just want to hang out with them. When they're older, they're not going to fucking want to.
Yeah.
Because you've shown them how you are, and you've shown them how to be, and you've taught them how to act and what they can and cannot have. It's really easy to teach your kids how to prepare for bad situations. Then you can have these conversations. In classes, we talk to people, hey, man, you need to tell your kids if my gun comes out in public and I'm gunning down bad guys, this is what I need you to do. Go jump in the truck. That's cool. I would wager to bet half the fucking kids that are out there would not do well in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Because they're not. Their little minds can't even wrap around what the hell you just said. But I'll tell you, my kids can. And that's no secret recipe. I already gave it to you today. It's not a secret. Now, if you have another great piece of advice for being a parent, I'm all ears. Mm-hmm. Because I am a decent parent.
Well, and I think we're still...
like, I'm still learning. Yeah. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to work through it. So if you have advice that you guys think we might have missed on this show, hit us up with it. Email it to us, info@trainingaz.com. We'll share it on future shows.
Yeah.
Let us know. I don't care when I don't care if it's 2 months from now you hear this show and you're like, oh, shit. I think what makes me a good parent, or what I thought made my parents a good parent, is this. And boy, I wish I could share that with lots of people. Well, guess what? We have a platform. You can share your ideas with lots of people. So send us your ideas for being a good parent that can help prepare your kids for bad situations. If you completely disagree with us or you think we're crazy or whatever, send us that message too. We'd love to hear it. We don't get a lot of them. In fact, we rarely get them. I think people maybe just don't want to bother, or they think I'm just going to write something nasty back. I'll just send it to Drew and go, here you go, respond to this.
Thanks.
Middle finger emoji. That's what you're going to get back. No, but seriously, we want your ideas. What do you got, Drew? Parting comments on this episode.
Kids learn by observation. So whatever you're doing, they're also going to do the same thing. So if you are trying to really discuss with them medical scenarios, things like that, nature, let them be around when you're practicing because they will learn by example and by your lead. So if you are practicing wound packing and they happen to notice and ask you what you're doing, explain it to them. Have them do it in return. That's the way that we get the kids involved. We're not forcing them to do anything. We just do those things. They see it and they want to be a part of it because they want your attention. They want to hang out with you. Their goal in life is to make you happy. That's their little brains. They just want to get snuggles, hugs. They want to be around you.
They want to be validated.
They want to be validated. Mm-hmm. They want your attention. So if you're constantly training, make sure your kids are around. Let them come and see what you're doing. Don't force them to do it, especially if they're doing something else. Just do it. And if they happen to come in and say, hey, what are you doing? Can I also help? Don't tell them no. Tell them yes. Whether that's disassembling a firearm and cleaning it, explain the parts to them. Get them involved because then they're going to be like, wow, that was really cool. I want to go to the range with you and see how it got dirty or whatever it is. Make them a part of your daily things. Make them a part of your daily routines. Get them involved, and that's the way that they're going to learn and grow and prosper when it comes to learning from you and wanting to be involved in this world that you're in. That's what I have.
All right. All right, you guys. Well, independence training moment. Remember to keep your med kit close at hand when on the range. We had a situation in a force-on-force class with a UTM round that performed oddly ballistically and penetrated through a long-sleeve shirt. Not enough to go into skin, but to break the skin open in a way and cause a wound profile that I have never seen in force-on-force training. That just happened 2 days ago at our close contact class in Indiana, to the point where we had a pretty serious bleed, not arterial, but a pretty serious bleed that required a pressure dressing to shut it down so I could get it stopped and clotted up so I could, you know, several minutes later be able to take it off and get another assessment on the wound. But pretty crazy bleed. Med kit close at hand, easy to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Little gauze, little bandage, boom, done, done. Able to send the student away in good shape. Keep your med kit close at hand, especially when you're on the range. You're the world's best med kit 50 yards away, 50 feet away. Might be 50 feet too far.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever med supplies you can keep on hand, especially when you're on the range, keep them at hand. Even if it's just gauze and a bandage stuffed into your pocket, or, you know, something hanging around off your belt line or whatever. One of our wonderful ankle kits from Riker Nylon Gear, something like that. Independence Training Moment brought to you by independencetraining.com, or easier to find, trainingaz.com. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. As we mentioned earlier, email us for more information, info@trainingaz.com. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Red Wire Gear, and MRC Phoenix, Drew's Running Club. And make sure that if you guys have show ideas for us, patron or not, I don't care if you're a regular listener for this, feel free to send us any of your show ideas ever. All right. We love them and we use them for our shows. Today's was, requested by several people. Next week's been requested by several people. So look, if you send us an idea, we need a new idea every week. So unless it's something we're already doing, we're all open to your guys' show topic ideas. So send them over to us, info@trainingaz.com. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other shows and services that the network provides. Next week, we're going to be talking about precision shooting for the civilian LARPer. This was actually an outline sent to us by the same listener that sent us a couple of other outlines of shows. And I'm looking forward to talking about this because, of course, I love precision rifle shooting. And the civilian LARPer is kind of a fun topic that we've talked about before on the show. But what do we really need precision shooting for? And we do have some answers for you. And you guys have to wait till next week to find out what those are. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.